Okay, tonight's shiur and the rest of the shiur throughout the summer are sponsored by Ben Yael Engelbrot's Chusur for Shlema for Zachariah Kalman Ben Yael Margalit. We are tonight going to begin, it's the beginning of the end of Bishul Akum. We're going to begin the last of our four packets on Bishul Akum, and all that's left to discuss, as you see, are the three, well, there might be more to discuss that we're not going to discuss, but of the primary topics within Bishul Akum that we're going to discuss, we have the three issues. Number one, Suffolk Bishul Akum. Number two, how to define what's called the Mice of Bishul. And number three, what about Kalim in which Bishul Akum was done? Do they need Hechsher Kalim? So those are the three topics we have left. Bez Hashem, this week we'll finish up Bishul Akum. Next week we only have a half a week because we're off Monday, Tuesday. So we'll have 2.5 weeks to work on Tefilas Kalim and maybe a little bit of Hagalas Kalim. So we'll jump to Ayin Hey after this packet is over. For those who recall, we're learning Gemara. So the first issue, what do you do if you're not sure if you have a problem of Bishul Akum or not? So the Torah writes in Siman Kuf Yud Gimel, as you would expect, if you leave food on the fire and you have a guy who is in charge of guarding that food as you go out to take care of something, and the guy is not just guarding the food, he's working it, he's doing stuff with it. And you don't know what he's done in terms of maybe he's removed it from the flame before it got to Machal Ben Rishai and then put it back on the flame. And that, according to the Torah and the Mechaber and everyone but the Ramah, is going to be highly problematic, right? Because if he took it off the flame and then put it back on the flame before it's at Machal Ben Rishai, he's doing the Bishul. But you have no idea. You weren't home. You were at Mincha. And you came back and now it's all cooked. So what do you do? So says the Torah, Hareza Mutter. Ve'in Choshen Shem Silko. It's Mutter. You don't have to be choshish about anything, nothing to be concerned about. Why is it mutter? So the Torah says what you would expect them to say. Because what are we talking about, sof kol sof? We're dealing with the din drabanan, and safik devrei mahakel, safik drabanan lakula is what you would expect, and therefore it's going to be mutter. Right? That's the... Now, this halacha doesn't appear in the Gemara as this halacha, but it does appear in the Gemara. Meaning the Gemara doesn't make a big deal out of the idea that Safik Bishul Akum is mutter, but the Torah's case is taken directly from the Gemara. Yeah?
Did the Gemara say, was the case in your house? Or
the Torah or the Gemara? What did you say?
The Torah.
The Torah, yeah?
Was that in your house, or was it just stop?
He doesn't say anything about your house. So assume even not in your house. So it's a regular Safik Drabbanan, Safik whether Bishul Akum was done, Safik Drabbanan Lekula. Now, we know Safik Drabbanan Lekula doesn't always apply, but it would seem to work over here. Meaning Safik Drabbanan Lekula may not apply to something that has an Asmachta in a Pasuk, or that, so the truth is, we discussed at the very beginning of the Bishul Akum Sugya, where does Bishul Akum come from? So Lam Zayin Bey is one of the issues the Gemara tried to flesh out, is that it comes from a Pasuk, and the Gemara says, no, it's only an Asmachta. So maybe you start questioning Safik Drabbanan Lekula Bishul Akum based on that. That according to those, that it won't apply to something that has an asmachta min apasut from min akra. Safik Drabbanan Lekula won't apply to the davar sheish lamatirin, something that will become mutter li achar zman, or something that's efshel levar bekal, something that you could very easily clarify. So luchora, this fits neither of those categories. It's not something that's ever going to become mutter. The fact that you can go and be mevatalid, and if it's it will be, and bishul akum is batal barov, does not make it a davar sheish lamatirin, because then everything would be a davar sheish lamatirin. Chazer would also be a davar sheish lamatirin then, because everything could technically become batal. But because there's nisr ve mevatal nisr lechachila, that's why these things are not a davar sheish lamatirin. So the Torah is pretty much standard what you would expect the Torah to say. What was I referring to before? I said the Torah definitely got this case straight out of the Gemara, because the Gemara and Daf Lamed Ches, right? The Gemara gave exactly this case that a person, the Brisa, three lines from the bottom, Lamed Ches Amar Aleph, Tanya Nami Yachi Maniach Yisrael Basal Gabi Gichalim Ubo Avicham Mahabich Bo Ad Sheyavo Yisrael Mi Beis Haknesses Umi Beis Hamedrash. Why does the Gemara have to add that? Just say that I put the food on the fire. The guy was Mahabich Bo. The Brisa has to add in. He's taking care of it while I'm gone. Well, I'm in the Beis HaKnes, Beis HaMedrash. Who cares if I'm gone or not? And what if I'm standing right there, but he's being Mahapich Bo? And the Gemara's main point, the primary point, is just that the guy being Mahapich Bo doesn't make it Aser. It's still going to be okay. Even though the guy was either Mahapich or Magus, that's still going to be okay. But why does the Gemara then have to say that I wasn't around? So it must be that the Gemara is trying to teach me a chiddush with that. Ad sheyavim beis haknesset beis hamedrash. It doesn't must be. You could just say that that's matzui. That's the most common case. But the way that the fact that that halacha is even true is a raya to this halacha, right? The fact that it's even true that if I go for a while, that means I have a safek. Because what I have no idea what he really did. He tells me what he did. He has no ne'emanus on this issue. If he knows that, if I'm asking about kashrus issues, and he tells me what he did, and he tells me what I want to hear, he has no ne'emanus. So what he tells me doesn't make a difference. So the very fact that that halach is true is a raya to the Torah. And mistama, it's based on safek d'rabbanan l'kula, as the Torah says. However, the Beis Yosef quotes a different reason why it's going to be mutter. Beis Yosef quotes from the Rashba. And by the way, the Gra points to those two lines in Gemara as the source for the for this halacha in Shulchan Aruch, as you would expect. But the Beis Yosef quotes a totally different reason, nothing to do with the Safek Rabbanan L'Kula. If you look at the Beis Yosef, he writes in the right at the beginning over there. He says, "O Nasan Harashba Tam Lahatir." The Rashba says that it's mutter because why would the guy do this? Why would he take the food off and put it back on? Is he trying to get you? Is he trying? We don't assume people are going to do things that aren't beneficial for them. We assume that a guy might do something that he might benefit from. So if he can make money off the deal somehow, he might do it. But he stands nothing to gain by taking off your hamburger from the barbecue, putting it in the basket on the side, and then putting it back on. He has nothing to gain whatsoever from doing that. So we have no reason to be choshesh that he will do that. And so that's the reason of the Rashba. Now, L'may Nafkamina, what do you say? Yeah?
Isn't there a pain that if you just lift it and try to turn it over, then it's considered as completely taking it off?
Right.
And therefore, he might not be trying to take it off, but a lot of people...
Right, so the truth is, I was thinking about that if you hold like the Beis Yosef himself holds, in Kesef Mishnah, that the only hipuch that's really mutter for a guy to do is like shaking it while it's on the fire, but even flipping it might be a problem, so then the reason of the Rashba shouldn't work so well, because exactly like you're saying, the reason of the Rashba is that, yeah, you have no reason to be choshish for this, but that's just the normal way to cook, and that's what a person would do if they weren't thinking about doing anything different. It probably depends on what kind of food you're cooking, mm-hmm. right? If it's the kind of food, if you're cooking something in a frying pan, so you wouldn't always pick it, depends if it's pancakes or whatever, it depends on what kind of food you're cooking. But if you're frying, you know, it depends, many foods would not, the normal way to cook it would not involve lifting it up and putting it back down. It would just involve stirring or mixing around or shaking it in some way. So I would assume that this would only apply in a food where it's not the most normal thing to do. The typical way is not to pick it up and put it back down. Yeah.
The Mark is a vague case that we said that's what the Torah is based on. But let's say, according to the Torah, the guy said, oh, by the way, I took it off for a few minutes and put it back on.
Would that be enough of a reyasa?
You're right. The stuff goes on, but the Gemara just seems to say across the board that could be mutter.
Oh, you think that's against the Gemara? No, the Gemara says, the Gemara doesn't tell you that he told you anything.
So let's say the stuff is resolved. The guy says, I took it off.
Right. So then the Gemara would be yasser. Yeah.
And
I would assume so.
The Gemara would say the same thing.
Yeah, I would think so. Yeah. L'may nafkamina between the reason that the Torah gives and the reason that the Beis Yosef gives, whether it's a mishum safek d'rabbanan l'kula or mitam that you just don't have to be choshish that he would do something like this. So what are the standard nafkaminas in general when you have safek d'rabbanan l'kula? So number one nafkamina is if the concern is not only for din d'rabbanan. Let's say you had an issue about a din d'oraisa. Let's say your concern was also a safek issue, but it was about a safek d'oraisa, not bishalakum. You left the house and it wasn't guarded and he could have gone out to the market and bought pig meat and put that on your grill and cooked that when you came home. So then that would be usher, because that's safek d'oraisa now. Now you're not dealing with safek d'rabbanan anymore. So whenever there's any concern that there might be a d'oraisa in play, that, but if you're going to say, well, what's he going to benefit from that? Why would he put pig meat on the thing? He has nothing to gain from that. He's giving me the same quality meat. He's not going to make any money off the deal. So this gets into the major sugya of basar shenasali min ha'ayin, of when you can trust non-Jews by deliveries and things like that, when there's no simin on the food, when you can trust that they're not going to exchange it, Right? So if you hold that the svar over here is safek drabbanan lekula, so you're dealing with the raisa, you couldn't rely on safek drabbanan lekula. If you hold that the svar is that he has nothing to gain, well, there might be cases where he would have something to gain. Another nafkamina is, we don't do safek drabbanan lekula as a lechatchila. If it happens, we rely that safek drabbanan lekula, but we try not to live a life of sfeikos. We try to live a life of vadai. Shut up. We try to live a life of vada. We try to live life without raising sveikos. So is it okay to run out to mincha while the guy, or anywhere, while the guy is cooking? So if you hold the reason is safek drabbanan lekula, so then you shouldn't be relying on safek drabbanan lekula. You shouldn't be creating a case of safek. But if you hold the reason is not mishum safek, but you have no reason to be choshesh at all, so then why not? Then you can leave him alone. It's not even it doesn't even enter the category of safek. Shmuel.
I don't know, Tosfos says you don't even need to clarify when it's a sex fake. You don't even need to try to clarify. Because when it's a sex fake, it's a done deal. You don't even need to.
Okay.
So it's not, as you're saying over here, that it's something that we're relying upon as opposed to...
Well, there's a difference between the chiv to be mevarer. And it's not so posh, it depends how easy it is to clarify, but there's a difference between the chiv, because if it's really easy to be mevar, then it's not even a suffix. I mean, it wouldn't fit the definition of suffix. But just because I don't know something, if I close my eyes, if I have a McDonald's, labeled McDonald's hamburger in front of me, and I can't close my eyes and say, I don't know which one it is, so it's a suffix, right? You can't, it has to fit into the category of a suffix to begin with. But even besides for that's talking about once you have the situation of suffix, so what do you need to do to get out of it? But to create a situation of suffix would seem to be problematic. Yeah.
That would seem to go against the Gemara, or was the case where he went out? And how the Torah then fit into the Gemara?
The Torah said mishum suffix.
Yes, that'd be a problem now because he did leave.
He did, but so it doesn't say he should. It says this is the case. Hiniach Yisrael basra al gabi chalim. Ovid Chavim is Bama Hapich Bo, Ad Shabbat Yisrael Besef Knas and Besef Medrash. This is what happens. So they're in a Choshesh. You don't have to be Choshesh, but the Abed. Sounds like a little Chachil. You're right. Much more so, but it's not Pfeirish like that. Right? You could read the Gemara as a B'diavad also. So that's the... now, Beis Yosef then adds that this only works if you know that nothing else was snuck in. Why does it only work if you know that nothing else was snuck in? L'chora, that works better according to the Torah's. That works better according to the Torah's reason. According to the Torah, that it's safek drabbanan lekula, you have to be sure that your only safek is a safek drabbanan. You have to be sure that there's no way that he's going to be able to sneak in any yisurim daraisa over here. So you don't even raise the safek daraisa issue. Or the way to fit it within the Rashba that the Beis Yosef quoted. Why do you have to be sure that nothing else was snuck in? Because sometimes he might be able to sneak in cheaper non-kosher meat that you won't notice the difference. So if there's anything cheaper and he can sell your kosher meat for more expensive, or he has some way to benefit from it, so for that reason you need to keep the doors closed, make sure he doesn't sneak anything in. Now, what about other cases of suffek when it comes to Bishul Akum? This case of suffek is just you don't know whether he took it off the fire or not. Are there any other cases of suffek? Now, the Taz in Sifkat Nir Aleph says, yeah, I could think of one. It says, Yesh safek im chiti Yisrael ba'or olo. If you have a safek whether the Jew was ever mechata b'gecholim. We pass that being mechata b'gecholim is good enough, right, that's enough Jewish involvement to take it out of the problem of Bishul Akum. So you have a safek whether the Jew did that. The guy did everything else. Safek whether the Jew did that. Is there any reason to say that safek should be any different than the safek of whether the guy took it off the fire? If the guy did everything, it's just a question whether the Jew is mechate. Is there any svara to be mechalik between the sveikos? Yeah?
I think you're looking at it from two different stances. In the case where the Jew's turning on the fire, it's the guy that did everything else where he might have done something.
So a Jew might have saved it, but
exactly.
The default is it's Bishul Akum. Whereas the case that we were talking about before, that the Torah was talking about, was the default position was Bishul Yisrael. It's just that the guy might have ruined it. Right, so that would be a very important chiluk. So, but when the Taz adds that we're going to be mekel in the case of Safek, so l'chora, that's exactly what he's saying. Very good. Yeah?
If there's no chiluk, then would we say Safek Darban Lekula here also, and therefore we assume that he did do it? What's the
right, Safek Darban Lekula, and therefore we'll assume that a Jew, even though he doesn't remember whether he did or not, we'll assume he was mechat b'gchalim. question? No.
I'm saying it should depend on the reason. According to the Beis Yosef, the reason is point. There's no point to the guy doing it. Here we're not talking about. The fault is not.
Correct. Well, what you have to say is that even that when the Beis Yosef quotes the Rashba, the Rashba is giving an additional reason. Sometimes Rabban Kula also works, but what the Rashba is gaining by giving his reason, you're allowed to leave, right? You're allowed to create the situation, l'chachila, right? So he's gaining something by giving an additional reason, but no one denies the rule of Safik Rabban Kula. So the Taz seems to be expanding Safik Rabban Kula. What about the following case? A non-Jew took it off the fire. Well, the case of the Torah was the case of the Torah actually was not 100% clear exactly what his case was. What's the suffix in the case of the Torah? I said it a certain way, but really probably two ways to read it. Ein yodua im silku av dikhavim ad shelo higil amachl ben jusai im lav hareza mutir. Now, what does that mean? You know he for sure took it off the fire, you just don't know when, or you don't know if he took it off the fire. Right, so it sounds like you know he took it off the fire. You're just not sure whether he took it off before Machal Ben Drusai or after Machal Ben Drusai, right? Which would sort of ruin our distinction a little bit, because if you know for sure that he took it off the fire, so now you no longer have a definitive Bishul Yisrael situation with just a shaila whether the guy ruined it. Because now I know two things: I know that a Jew cooked it, and I know that a guy cooked it. I know both. I just don't know when the critical cooking happened. I don't know when that threshold of Machal Ben Drusai was crossed. Was it crossed with the Jews cooking or the guys cooking? So that's more of like a Parv case. If you have the two extremes, the one where you know for sure that we started with, that we were describing, which is not really the suffix of the Torah, where you're not even sure if he took it off, so then you have a Yediyah Vadais that this is Bishul Yisrael, a Shaila whether a guy came along and ruined it. And the case of the Taz, where Yediyah Vadas and it's Bishul Akum, a Shaila whether Yisrael came and saved it. The case of the Torah is actually a Yediyah Vadas that it's both Bishul Yisrael and Bishul Akum, and you're not sure if what it turned out to be. What was the Iker? What was the Koveya? Right? When it was Machal Ben Drusai or not. So the Torah actually turns out to be a middle type of case. Another type of suffix might be, let's say you're just not sure whether it was made, the next topic we're going to discuss, whether it was made with Bishul or Kavisha or Ishun or, you know, anything that might not be a problem of Bishul Akum. So in that situation, you know a guy made it, beginning to end. You're just not sure of the methodology that he used to make it. So would you apply suffix Rabban Kula in those cases? These are all classic sveikos. That would also probably be the middle ground kind of suffix, where there's no chazaka of what it is. Right, it's not that you have a suffix whether another maisa came along in the middle and saved it. It was the whole process is besuffix. The whole process was a shaila. Now, if you look at the Ramah, it's a very strangely worded Ramah that quotes this halacha in source number 4. It says Shulchan Aruch, Hiniach Yisrael al gabei eish, v'hiniach ovid kuchav l'shamro, v'hafach bo, v'ein yadua im silko ovid kuchav ma'achal l'regia l'machal ben Drusai, mutter. Now, by the way, the way the Shulchan Aruch quotes the halacha from the Torah is a little bit different than the way the Torah quotes the halacha, right? The Torah has two more critical words, imlav. By the Torah saying imsilko imlav, the Torah is abundantly clear that the cases that you know he was, imsilko achol yigel machol ben jusai imlav, the Torah is abundantly clear that you know he was mesalikit, you just don't know whether it was a machol ben jusai or imlav. The way the Mechaber reads, you could read it that you don't even know whether he was mesalikit. You don't know if he was mesalikit, and we're just describing the kind of silut that would be problematic, which would be actually gil machal ben drusai. Right? The imlav seems to change the implication a little bit. It's not a diuk that's mukhrach, but it seems to change the implication a little bit. Either way, it's not going to make a difference lechara because we're going to be mekel in either case. So mutter says The truth is, it might change it a little bit, in the fact that if the Mechaber is only telling me it's going to be mutter, if I don't know if he took it off at all, the Mechaber might only be telling me I'm going to be mekel when it's Yediyah Vada'is that you have Bishul Yisrael, question whether a guy ruined it. But when it's both Bishul Yisrael and Bishul Akum, and you're just not sure where the critical threshold point was, so maybe we're not going to be mekel. The Mechaber tells me only if you don't know, if it's Yediyah Vada'is that the Jew cooked it, and you're just not sure if a guy saved it. So the Ramah adds, why are we Mekel? The Safik Devarim Lahakel, quoting from the Torah. And then the Ramah says, V'chein kol safik bishul of the kachavim uchayotze bo mutter. And by the way, it's not just this safik of bishlakum; it's every safik of bishlakum, and not just every safik of bishlakum. Other stuff is mutter. So that's, you know, the Rama was careful when he wrote the sefer. What was he uchayotze bo? Other stuff. What's included in other stuff? And why does he have to tell me? And also other sveikos of bishlakum. Of course, other sveikos of bishlakum. Why would I think it's any different? So according to what we just explained, and this Lechelkas Binyamin fleshes all this out, according to what we just explained, that the Taz's case of where you have a suffix, whether the Yisrael is mechatab b'kachalim, but you know for sure that the guy did everything else. So in that case, it's different. It's a bigger chiddush because you have a yediyah v'adas that there was bishalakum. It's just a shaila whether a Jew saved it. Much bigger chiddush. So maybe that's what the Rambam is referring to. The suffix devrayim lahak v'chein kol suffix bishuleakum. He says not only this suffix where you know that it was a Jew that cooked it, it's just a shaila whether a guy ruined it. Even if you know that a guy cooked it, and the shaila, and therefore that's the default, and the shaila is whether the Jew saved it, that's also going to be mutter. And notice the Taz is going on which words v'chein kol suffix pirush. He doesn't say kagon. Big difference between the words pirush and kagon. What's kagon? Kagon would just mean, yeah, for example, any suffix, whatever. Pirush, what the Ramah means by adding this. What the Ramah's trying to tell you. Shar sveikos of bishalakum are even those sveikos where the default position is that you had bishalakum. And the shaila was whether Yisrael came along and saved it. Even that's going to be mutter. Even that's included in the suffix Rabbanu Lukula. So that explains the first half. Still doesn't explain uchayotzebo. And other stuff, right? That part we haven't explained. We explained why he has to say other bishlakum sveikos, because there are bishlakum sveikos that aren't quite as obvious, but the chayotzibo is still a little bit lacking. We'll get back to that in a second. Yeah.
Would the mechaber be molded to the case of the Taz, with the bechalim, or is the mechaber just being dafka, like specifically any case regarding you know whether you know.
So it's a good question. This is one of those issues. Is the Mechaber, is the Ramah arguing the Mechaber,
right,
or is he just clarifying the Mechaber?
Yeah, I don't know.
Right. Pashup Shad is he's just clarifying the Mechaber. He doesn't say V'yei Shomrim, he doesn't, right? So Pashup Shad is just clarifying the Mechaber. But why does he feel a need to clarify the Mechaber? Exactly for the reasons we said before, that the Mechaber gives you a case where it's where the default position is that the Jew did everything, it's just a shaila where the guy saved it. So the Ramah has to say, okay, wait a second, where the guy ruined it. So the Ramah says, wait a second, let me clarify over here. Those aren't the only kinds of sveikos that are going to be okay. There are going to be sveikos, the other kinds of sveikos are also going to be okay.
It's hard to believe that he would say, give one example, but really mean every suffix possible. Like, I'm going to clarify by saying every suffix also. It's not really clarifying, it seems to be his argument.
No, the reason he gives that one example is that's the one in the Gemara.
And
the Mechaber gives that one example because that's the one in the Gemara.
Then, based on that, really, he means every suffix?
Yeah, that the Gemara gives that example, but that's how we learn out many halachas.
Then you want to quote just one example, and then an example you'd assume that every single...
Well, unless you have a logical or a halachic reason to be mechalik. But over here, Savitra Baran Lakula seems to work. Do we know that we don't say Savitra Baran Lakula when it's Becheskas Bishulakum and the Jew might have saved it? That should be, fits the rules of Savitra Baran Lakula. Yeah.
I don't understand how we can be saying that the Taz is limiting what the Ramah is saying. To
not limiting,
down.
Adding. He's,
no, I'm saying that the Taz on the Ramah, right?
Yeah.
We're saying that the Taz is limiting the Ramah to only that case, correct?
I wouldn't use the word limiting.
He's saying
why does the Ramah, the Taz is addressing a problem. Why does the Ramah have to add v'chein kol safik bishuleyakum? Why would I think not about other sveikos bishuleyakum? So that's what the Taz says. I'll give you a case that you would not have necessarily... That's a little bit different than the case of the Mechaber. That's a little bit stricter. You would think should be a little stricter. And that's what that's why the Rama needs to tell me all sveikos of bishlakim, even the ones that are a little bit more on the strict side, even the ones that are more default position being that the guy cooked it.
But is it has specifically saying that the Rama is only talking about the case of Gechalim, or is it case...
Not only.
Case because,
like yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know if this is a good question, but what would be let's say within that chiluk that the Taz makes, that you might have made this chiluk within the Ramah, and so there was this kamash one that no, the Ramah would mode that, you know, within that chiluk,
what there's no svara to say. What's the svara to say?
I guess the havamina would be that it's a cheskas iser, and that to be motzi ain't suffik motzi midei vaday. That you know that you have a vaday position of bishul akum, and you have a suffik whether someone took it out of bishul akum. That maybe suffik rabbanu lekula would apply where there's no chazaka whatsoever, where I just don't know how the whole process happened. But when I have a cheskas heter and a suffik iser, I could for sure be mekel. When I have a regular straight on suffik, I could be mekel the suffik rabbanu lekula. But maybe when I have a cheskas iser, the suffik that might have, something might have changed it, maybe is not enough to be motzi midei vaday. So that's probably what it's based on. Ain suffik motzi midei vaday. Was a good question. In terms of your first question, whether it was a good question. Okay, the second point that the Rama makes, the Rama then says, v'chayotzebo. So what's he doing with v'chayotzebo? How do you understand v'chayotzebo? How do you understand v'chayotzebo? Other kinds of sveikos. So probably the most pashup shot, bishul akum v'chayotzebo. So the Chalkas Binyamin starts to assumes v'chayotzebo means all sveikos to Rabbana. Savik Rabbanan in general, throughout Kol HaTorah Kula. So when the Rama wants to teach me the din of Savik Rabbanan Lekula, he goes to Yerodea Simon Kuf Yud Gimel, in the very end of the Simon on Bishul Akum, and says, oh, by the way, let me tell you, Savik Rabbanan Lekula. Not likely. Right? That this is where the Rama is going to feel the need to stick in the idea of Savik Rabbanan Lekula. And furthermore, the Chalkas Binyamin points out in the Biurim, that kayotzebo implies that it's got to be something similar to bishul akum, not just all kol HaTorah Kula. So he says v'yesh lefaresh the kavanaso l'shar dvarim shenesu mishum chasnus. He says what you have to say is the kayotzebo comes to include other chasnus type of issues, machalei akum, other machalei akum issues. Pas akum, any suffix in any of the sheikhar, pas, all that stuff. Any of the stuff that relates to chasnus. However, he says, that also requires clarification. Why does Rama need to tell me that? That you could be mekel in all these cases of sveikos by other drabanan mishum chasnus issues. Of course it's included in suffix drabanan lukula, every of kol HaTorah Kula. Why shouldn't it be? So he says, now based on the way we explain the Taz and what the Rama added with those first few words, now we can understand it a little bit better though. Now we can understand this Chayotzebo as well. If you look in the in source number 6, in the Chalkas Binyamin, in the Biurim, fourth line, toward the end of the line, Amnam Lufima Shekasapti Lemaisa Asi Shapir De Kamash Malan De Hani Sharu Afilu Besafikim Nasa Maisa Hamatirosan. That it's coming to teach me that these are mutter even if the default position was problematic, and you have a suffix whether a maisa was done to be matir. Dumi the suffix imchita Yisrael, the similar to the suffix of the Taz of imchita Yisrael. Whereas becheskas iser, and you might think ain't suffix motzi midei vaday. So v'zeu kuli yiseru misharis drabanan. We wouldn't say that by kol HaTorah Kula yiseru drabanan. This is a special. This is a machal yakum special. This kind of kula. This isn't classic suffix drabanan lekula because you have cheskas iser. So it's suffix motzi midei vaday, and we're allowing for that. So the Rama comes to tell me, "Kamash melan Rama, the dafka b'ani shasur mishum chasnus yesh latir gam b'chia gavna." That it's not only a bishul akum kula; it's a all mishum chasnus kula. Why? Why are we taka mekel? So he writes that perhaps whenever there's a suffix, whether you did anything to solve it, maybe that addresses the chasmus issue. It's not like any other suffix drabanan where the reason doesn't play a critical role. Perhaps over here, if you're not sure whether the guy did you a favor, you're not going to marry his daughter, misafik. You mean by definition, if you're not sure whether he actually did the cooking for you or did the baking for you, so even those becheskas that he did, and it was only suffix whether you saved it, maybe that dulls the chasnus issue a little bit. It dulls the concern of chasnus, and therefore, not just that we're going in retrospect and saying this, but therefore, they probably didn't include sveikos in their original gzeira. Even sveikos that had a cheskas iser. So that's how you would have to say, just to be mechalik between machalei akum and everywhere else. Good, so that is in terms of sveikos. That's the small topic. Now the larger topic that might take us a little bit longer to do, defining bishul, more critical topic in bishul hakam. Defining bishul, what is bishul? So take a look at the Torah. The Torah in source number 7. The Gemara, by the way, amazingly, never really directly 100% addresses this issue. It doesn't directly talk about kavush. It talks about maliach a little bit. It doesn't directly talk about kavush meushan, all these other types of food preparation that don't involve heating up the food and being mishtane it al yedei ha'or. The Gemara doesn't really directly address all these cases. So the Torah tells us, if the way you prepared this food, or the way the guy prepared this food, was not with using fire, even though salting sometimes has a din of cooking in regards to certain halachos. So which halachos does it have a din of cooking? So you have to, where do we say Mliach Karasech? Pasuk B'chalav. Right, see, even though Mliach Rasech, Kavish Kumavushal, may be true by Basar B'chalav and by Taroves, by Nesinas Tam and things of that nature, Shari, it's still Mutter by Bishalakum. Hilkach, Basar, Dagim, Ketan, Shekavshan of the Gelulim, Al Molcha, Natcheruin, Achila, Mutarin, Afilu Bishal Macherkach. So if a guy salts your fish or soaks it and then cooks it afterwards, it's all mutter, because the Malicha didn't make it Asar, and then when he cooks it afterwards, it's already Davar Nechel Kamoshu Chai. Because once he cooks it afterwards, he already prepared it and made it edible by being malech, by being kavishit. So good. So that's why it's mutter. Now, where does the Gemara say this? Where does the Gemara say that bishul akum? The word bishul in general has a very halachic technical definition, and when we say kavish ki mevushal lechora, that should mean that if kavish ki mevushal is true in hilchos basar b'chalav, about bishul basar b'chalav, it should be true about bishul akum. It's all about bishul. It's about cooking. So it's sometimes lost on us. When the Mishnah told us about this issur of bishul akum in the first place, first day, you look through the Mishnah and you say, this is the Mishnah about bishul akum. So you look through the whole Mishnah the first time, you're like, okay, where's the bishul akum part? It doesn't say anything. It doesn't say the word bishul. What does it say? Hashlakos. Well, it says hashlakos. Even the discussions in the Gemara doesn't really talk about bishul so much. Nishtanim b'resal yedei ha'or talks about hafachba, whatever, no se nal gabe esh, different cases, but it doesn't really use the terminology of bishul. That perhaps causes us some trouble, no? Because on the one hand, you would say, okay, if it doesn't use the terminology of bishul, so we're not married to whatever is... Well, actually, let's just say it this way. If it doesn't use the terminology of bishul, you just have to look at what the gezeirah was and what the Gemara assumed the gezeirah was. And therefore, it doesn't have to fit the halachic terminology of bishul, because that's an us terminology. That's not the original gezeirah. That wasn't in the terminology of the gezeirah. That's the way we summarize the gezeirah, is by calling it bishul akum. But it was never part of the original gezeirah. If it was, then the Mishnah would have said bishul akum. So that's a possibility at least. Now, what do we know about the original gezeirah? We know that the Gemara was trying to figure out on Lamed Zayin Amud Beis where bishul akum comes from, and if it comes from a pasuk. And the Gemara knew how the issur was practiced, and was trying to see if there's a pasuk that shows us that issur based on the way we practice the issur. And what did the Gemara come up with? Came up with a pasuk that teaches us about something that's nishtana mibriyasa al yedei ha'or. Something that's changed by fire. Now, if bishul akum included kavush and maliach and everything else, then what's the Gemara hakin with the pasuk about nishtana mibriyasa al yedei ha'or? Shouldn't it be a davar pasuk that nishtana mibriyasa al yedei ha'or is not it? Because that's too limited? Bishul akum would be much more expansive. So that sort of gives you the impression that bishul akum is much more limited than the technical definition of bishul. Bishul akum is al yedei ha'or. The fact that the Gemara was trying to link that, what they knew as the practice of bishul akum, to a pasuk which was all about al yedei ha'or, so that gives you the impression at least that that's the understanding they had of bishul akum. Again, the Gemara doesn't address it directly, but that's the impression that it gives you. Also, it's not only from there, also, the Gemara is going to say, in the next Mishnah rather, talks about the types of foods that are mutter. The Mishnah doesn't get learned so much. Lama tesam beis. Elu mutarim ba'achila. Chalav shechalav davichav yisrael ro'eyu, advash, etc. And what about cooked foods? Ukvashin she'ein darka unless it's talking yayin v'chometz. Soaked things that were kavush, that are in dark unless it's talking yayin v'chometz, where you don't have anything to worry about in terms of wine or vinegar or any wine products being put into the food. And therefore it's mutter. So it's beferish in the Mishnah. You got it from a guy who was kovesh it. The guy was kovesh it. Why isn't it a bishalakim problem? Forget the wine products. No wine products should still be aser. Bishalakim. Elamai, you see beferish in the Mishnah. Then it's not a bishalakim problem when it's kovesh. Kovesh is not bishal in regards to bishalakim. Kovesh kibavushal doesn't work for bishalakim. Another raya, and all these are quoted by the Beis Yosef. Another raya, the Gemara, when it talks about the shalakos, when it talks about the Gemara on Lamed Ches, on both Amud Aleph and Amud Beis. But let's take a look at Amud Beis because that's what we were holding. Dag Maliach, Chizki Ashari, Rabbi Yochanan Nasir. If you have a salted fish, so that's Maliach Kiroseach, isn't it? So if you hold that the definition of Bishul includes Kavush and Maluach, so then Dag Maliach should be Asir, right? Chizki Ashari, where's the little gimel? Right? By Chizki Ashari. We pass in Chizki Ashari. Why? Says Rashi, Dag Maliach Shemalcho of the Chavim Ubim Milichaso, who nechal below Bishul? Chizki Ashari Delavu Bishul. That's not called Bishul. It's Maliach Karoseach. It's fair something more Maliach Karoseach. Doesn't apply by Bishul Akum. So although the Torah is telling us something that it doesn't really say, the Gemara never makes a big deal out of saying that you should know Bishul Akum only is about heat and cooking and it's not about Maliach and Kavish and all the rest. It doesn't make a big deal out of it, but the Gemara is clear in that way over and over again. Now, what about if the guy, after doing this, is then Mevashalit? So the Torah had said that it's no problem. Why is it no problem? Because it was already at Nechal Kamoshu Chai, once he's Maliach, or once he's Kovishit, and then when he then cooks it, it's not going to be a problem anymore, because it's Nechal Kamoshu Chai. Take a look at the Beis Yosef and source and braid in the second paragraph. First paragraph is what I just summarized to you by showing you all those Gemaras, where he just gives four reasons that four rayas from the Gemara that it's not a problem of Bishalakum when it's Kovish or Maluach. But then he says, Masha Kosev, and that which the Torah writes, Hilkach, Basra Dagm Katam Shakovshan Gaya Malchana Churina Achilu Mutar Na Filu Bishal Machrakach. That even if the guy cooks it afterwards, it's okay. Peperikin Mamidin Amr of Asi Amr Rav Dagm Katana Maluchim Ainba Mishum Shule Gayim. Amr of Yosef Vim Tsalan Gai Somechalay Mishum Erev Tavshilin. If you remember, the Gemara Lamar Chesavan Alev says, a dag maluach, you don't have to worry about Bishalakum. If a guy then roasts it, roasts what? Not a raw fish, a dag maluach. A salted fish. You can use it for your Eruv Tavshilin. Kachi Girsa Rifa Roshzal. V'kachi Girsa Rambam Gamkein. Vim Tomar. So you might ask, my Iriyat Salon Acher Shemolchan. Afil lo Molchan v'tzalanami. To be Somech on it for Eruv Tavshilin, why do you have to tell me that it was salted and then roasted? Even if it's roasted, it's good enough for Eruv Tavshilin, isn't it? For Eruv Tavshilin, you need it to dafka be cooked. The whole point is that you don't need it to dafka be cooked. Roasted is also good enough. But why do you have to tell me a case that he salted it, then roasted it? Just tell me that he roasted it. I'm saying it wrong. In the Bishalakum issue, even if without roasting it was already Mutter Mishum Bishalakum. Even without roasting it was Mutter Mishum, and even without salting, roasting it would make a Mutter Mishum Bishalakum. Why? Because the Gemara says, to the Shonos of when Bishalakum is Mutter, either Nechal Kamoshu Chai or Einol Shulchum Lachim. And we say we paskin Kikuli de Trelishni. We paskin like both Kulas. Imkain, Dagim Ketanim Afilu Lo Nimlechu Bishlan Gai Mutarim. Dagim Ketanim, even if he didn't salt them, and a guy cooked them, Mamish cooked them, it's Mutter. Why is it Mutter? Because it's Einol Shulchum Lachim. So says the Beis Yosef, no, you need to tell me that it was Malech and then Salah. Why? Because yeah, they're in Al Shulchan Malachim before you salt them. Once you salt them, they're all Al Shulchan Malachim. Now, if the guy is going to cook them after you salt them, so what heter is in play? You no longer have the Al Shulchan Malachim heter. If the guy would have cooked them straight when they were raw, say no shulchan lachim, that would be fine. You have that heter. The guy didn't cook them when they were raw. He salted them first. Now by salting them, he was mashbiach them, and he made it olal shulchan lachim. Once he was mashbiach it to the point of olal shulchan lachim, he now cooks it. So what's your heter now? So the heter now is that it's nechal kamo shulchai. Because once it was maluach, it was ready nechal. It was ready edible. So now you have the heter of nechal kamo shulchai. So that's how the Beis Yosef says, from the Rashba, I derived that that's the Pshan in the Gemara. That's what the Gemara is trying to emphasize. That both heterim are in play over there when it comes to the dag maluach. That you could, prior to the malicha, you need the heter, you can use the heter of enal shulchum lachim. After the malicha, you need to use the heter of nechal kamo shulchai. You have to go back and now go back to the discussions about the definition of olal shulchan lachem. If you recall, we discussed, how do you define olal shulchan lachem? Is it by the finished product or by the type of food? And Doug Maliach, we wanted to say, is ain't olal shulchan lachem, but then you salt it up a little bit, all of a sudden it's olal shulchan lachem. So it seems a very clear raya that it's not based on the type of food. You don't look at a food type and say, oh, okay, that's either olah or not olah. You look at how it's prepared to determine whether it's olal shulchan lachem or not, which could be a tremendous kula in many ways, right? That's Rav Soloveitchik's kula about canned foods. It could be that the product that they started with was a product that could be olal shulchan lachem, but once they prepared in a canned food kind of way with preservatives and whatever else and coloring or whatever, that takes it out of the status of olal shulchan lachem. So it's megalotas a little bit about olal shulchan lachem. Good, so these other types of bishul are not included in the issur of bishul akum. We're going to spend some time now discussing the issue of smoking. Not smoking, as in, but smoked foods. Whether smoked foods are included in the issur of bishul akum or not. Now, the Shulchan Aruch is very clear about this. Shulchan Aruch says, if you look in source number 9, Dag shemalcho akum, uperus sha'ashnan ad shechshiru na'achila, a fish that was salted or fruits that were smoked, harei ilu mutarin demeluach enu kraseach, because they rezu v'amu'ushan enu kemavushal. Smoked food is not kemavushal. Now, typical peros that you're ma'ashin anyway shouldn't be a subject of bishlakum because they're nechal kemo shulchai. So you need to be talking about peros that are not nechal kemo shulchai. Right, and say, but Shulchan Aruch is clear, mu'ushan enu kemavushal, and the Rama says, and gam kavash enu kemavushal, only bishul eish is a problem. These other types of food preparation that are not about eish are mutter, yeah?
Can you explain what, like, smoking?
Oh, good, yeah. So this is a major issue. So we're going to discuss this. Okay. The how do they do? What does smoking mean? So it seems to me that it's a machlokas haposkim and how to understand it. It seems that the large majority opinion is the way the Aruch HaShulchan describes it in Simen Pei Zayin. Simen Pei Zayin is the first Simen of Hilchos Basar V'Chalav. So that's where it tells you about the Isser of Basar V'Chalav is three unique Isserim, Achila, Bishul, Hana'a. So they describe what the Isser of Bishul Basar V'Chalav is. So that's where all the Achronim discuss it. So the Aruch HaShulchan describes Ushan briefly. If you look in source number 10, the last three lines. V'yesh misha omer d'bim Ushan ein safek v'lokin alav mishum d'b'ushan misha... I'm sorry, one second. No, it's before that. It's before that. Sorry, at the very beginning. Basar b'chalav mu'ushan kolomar. What does that mean to say? Shesharu basar b'chalav, yisok basar in chalav, v'achar kach talu oson. You take this milk-drenched piece of meat, and you hang it up in the air ba'ashan when smoke is hitting it. So you have smoke around, like you have a little, let's say, a bonfire. And there's just smoke coming up, right? And you just hang, you don't cook it over the fire, you just hang it where the smoke is able to hit it, and that smokes the meat. It gives the meat a smoky taste to it. That's mu'ushan, according to the Aruch HaShulchan. If you look at the Prisha, very short, so it's very hard to see exactly what he's saying. But look what he says. Pirush mu'ushan, sheneschamemu basar b'chalav ba'ashan kemo b'chamei teveria. That you heat it up in smoke like in Chamei Teveria. Like the hot springs of Teveria. Lav Dafka Teveria, obviously, could be the hot springs of Georgia, Florida, anywhere, right? But point is, Right? What does Gemara say about Chametz Tveri? That it gets heated by Gehenim, the Eishel Gehenim, passes over the Eishel Gehenim. It doesn't mean that literally, probably. There's a scientific term for that, that heat that comes from like the core of the earth kind of heat. Yeah, okay. Torah Mada, guys, come on. Nobody. It's okay. So what's the priest saying? I think the priest is saying different than the Aruch HaShulchan. How would you cook something in Chametz Tveria? Where you just throw them... What?
Without a fire?
No, well, definitely without a fire. But would you hang the meat over Chametz Tveria and wait till it gets cooked? Probably not. Mm-hmm. You would probably put it in a pot or a kli of some sort, a receptacle of some sort, dip that receptacle, that pot, that container, can, whatever it might be, in Chametz Tveria. The walls of the pot, can, receptacle, whatever you want to call it, will get heated up by the Chametz Tveria and will cook the contents. I can't imagine that the Chametz Tveria are going to do anything if you hang it over the Chametz Tveria. So what's the metzius of the Mu'ushan, according to the Prisha? If he's using the Chametz Tveria as the mashal, it doesn't seem like you're hanging it above and waiting for smoke to hit it. It looks like, it seems that you put it in a pot and you put it in smoke, in a smoke-filled chamber.
So like a fryer? I mean, like, what is that like?
Okay, we'll get to...
nowadays.
Okay, I'll give an example now, even though this might not be true in terms of the halacha. It might, yes, be true, might not, but we're going to have to discuss it. There's something called the steam cooker. If you go to an industrial kitchen, I've been, I think, in the Grand Hyatt in New York, in Manhattan. I was in their kitchen once with the OU, and they have this massive thing. It's hard to even like describe. It's like this massive bowl, it looks like. The walls are this thick, are like 4 inches, 5 inches thick. And the way it cooks is they put the food in the bowl and the walls are hollow and they fill with steam. So there's no actual water cooking in the walls, it's just steam running through the walls. So let's say you had smoke running through those walls. You're not cooking it with fire, you're cooking with smoke. You're cooking with steam. That's what's not so posh. Okay? But let's say it was smoke that ran through those walls. Yeah?
Isn't smoke a byproduct of fire? Like, how do you make smoke without a fire?
You can't, I assume. But the question is, are you using the fire or are you using the smoke that comes from the fire?
The smoke has cooking, like, cooking qualities?
Not cooking, but it gives a particular flavor, a taste.
It changes from a piece of meat.
Does it have cooking qualities? 1 second, that's also an important question. We're going to have to get to this back to this also. When we talk about smoking, there's something called hot, you know, smoking the way you would think about of it, with using just hot smoke coming straight from a fire, and there's cold smoking, which I'm not exactly sure exactly how it's done, but somehow it's not actually cooking it because it's not hot, but the smoke is there, it's just cold. And it's just giving the flavor. So cold smoke, when we say mu'ushan, is not a problem of bishlakum. Do we mean dafka cold smoke,
no,
mu'ushan, or we mean even hot smoke, mu'ushan? So this is what we need to analyze. Yeah.
Does hot smoke change it from not edible to edible?
Can it... They could both change it from not edible to edible. Even cold smoke, but for sure hot smoke. Because hot smoke could probably cook it. Could really cook it. Right? Zach?
Yeah, and I also want to tell that I didn't see the whole thing, but the next two words are Bechim Mevushal Bechayim Etiveria. It says that Chayim Etiveria is Mevushal. It's cooking it, opposed to I'm smoking it.
Right.
This is also opposed to the preacher saying that the same thing as Mevushal.
Mm-hmm. Right. Chayim Etiveria is not Bishal, though. Meaning it's not halachic Bishal. The Aruch HaShulchan also, Ein Lokin Lav means it's not halachic Bishal. Chayim Etiveria is you're not going to be chayiv for Bishal, for Chametz Tveria. The question is, metzius wise, is Mu'ushan similar to Chametz Tveria or is it dissimilar? Yeah.
I don't know what it's called, but I think that they wait for, they light the coal on fire and then they wait for a coal to go out and then they cook it based on the heat that can come from the coal, but there's no fire.
It's not a barbecue.
Huh? No. So
yeah, something like that. Yeah, there's that. That's smoke. That's Mu'ushan. Yeah, that's what it says.
What's when you cook in a barbecue, what's
big? It's the fire. The heat of the fire is cooking. It's not the smoke that's cooking it. Now, it does give it a certain...
So how do we distinguish the actual flame? A barbecue is the coal, the heat of the coal that's heating it up. Where do we stop? Where do we end the byproduct of...
Meaning you're saying Gechalim
Why is the chum different than smoke if it's mamash about
So you want to say that's a strong raya that smoking means cold smoking.
Yeah.
Otherwise it would be the same thing
as
tzli.
Yeah.
It's the same thing with the coal,
right?
Because you light the fire,
right.
And
you wait for the fire to actually go down and the coals to be boiling hot. Now it'd be barbecuing, right? I hear that. Okay, so we'll have to think about this. So it seems, in terms of just what the metzius of smoking is, machlokas between the Aruch HaShulchan and the Prisha. That's what it would seem. Now, just a little bit of background information is in order to understand the issue of smoked foods in all of halacha. There are three areas of halacha, primarily, that we're worried about bishul. There's bishul b'Shabbos, bishul basar b'chalav, and bishul akum. You have other minor areas of erev tafshilin, using a davar mevushal, and of erev tishabav, eating, not eating shnei tafshilin for the sudam of sekas and erev tishabav. Right, so there are other minor areas that we've discussed in the past about bishul, but three primary areas that you're going to find discussed in Shas are going to be bishul b'Shabbos, bishul akum, and bishul basar b'chalav. Now, the Yerushalmi in Maseches Nedarim, Perek Vav in Maseches Nedarim, which I did not include in the Mar Makomos, but all the Rishonim quoted, raises a suffix whether Mu'ushan has a din of bishul legabe basar b'chalav and legabe bishul akum. It doesn't discuss Shabbos, and it leaves it unresolved. Legabe bishul akum and legabe basar b'chalav leaves it unresolved whether Mu'ushan counts or doesn't count as bishul. So, number one issue you have to deal with when you see that Yerushalmi is, why does it not discuss Shabbos? Does it not discuss Shabbos because whatever the resolution is going to be for Bishul Akum and Bishul Basar B'Chalav is automatically going to be the same resolution for Shabbos? Or does it not discuss Shabbos because it won't be the same resolution? And the Gemara is asking about a certain Geder of Bishul, but the Geder of Bishul and Hilcha Shabbos might be different than the Geder of Bishul for Bishul Basar B'Chalav and Bishul Akum. What about the relationship between Bishul Basar B'Chalav and Bishul Akum? Do they have to have the same geder of bishul by the fact that Yerushalmi puts them together, or might they also have a different geder of bishul? Now we brought rayas that kavish and everything else is not included, but would that automatically apply to bishul basar b'chalav as well? The Yerushalmi raises it as a suffix and leaves it as a suffix. Now the Rambam in Hilchos Macholos Asuros, in discussing the halachas of basar b'chalav, again, I put the source in the Mar Makomos, but I forgot to actually put the words of the Rambam in the Mar Makomos. The Rambam Perek Tes Halacha Vav, Hamu'ushan v'amavushal b'chamei tverach yotze ben ein lokin alav. The Rambam says you don't get malchus for it. What's the Rambam telling me? Is it us or is it mutter? Is it bishul or is it not bishul? So when he says ein lokin alav, the Magen Mishnah points out what he's probably telling you is, it's a suffix. Yerushalmi was misupik. Yerushalmi didn't come to any maskana. So when you're dealing with can I do it or can I not do it in regards to bishul basar b'chalav, you're dealing with suffix daraisa. Suffix daraisa l'chumra. When you're dealing with am I going to get malchus for it, so you're not going to give malchus mi suffix, so in lokin love, you're not going to get malchus for it. So that would be true when it comes to bishul of basar b'chalav. What about when it comes to bishul akum? So that's what we started the shiur with. When it comes to bishul akum, it would be a suffik drabbanon and a suffik drabbanon lekula. So the Rambam seems very clear that Mu'ushan has a din of suffik mevushal, and if it's suffik mevushal by bishul akum, at least that's why we're makel by bishul akum. It's all based on a suffik. It's important to know whether we're being makel based on a suffik or whether we're being makel based on a vaday. What if you were to have a svek svekel lechumra kind of issue that would come up? So you have to know whether you're being mekel based on a suffix, whether you're being mekel based on a vadai. So the Rambam seems very clear that we're being mekel based on a suffix. What I just handed you is a prichadash. The prichadash on page Tafnun Tes in this printing, on it's a two-sided sheet that you got, the one with the dark edge over here on the left side. So toward the second half of the bottom of the column on the left side, he writes, "Kasuv of Magen Mishnah, the Mu'ushan have a bayadulov shita, viyadua the suffix Torah lahachmer vein lokin alav." It's an ibayadulov shita in the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi never answers the question, and therefore we paskin you can't do it. You don't get malchus in it either. Vili nira, the afkav dulov shita hacha if shita b'Yerushalmi gufei b'mesach Shabbos paraklal gadol. He says, but I think even though we didn't resolve it over here, this is resolved in Mesach Shabbos in the Yerushalmi and Shabbos. The garsin and hasam at solav amtagin hasholik vehama ashein kulan mishum mevashel. The Yerushalmi says Mesach Shabbos mu'ushan is called bishul. So says Pri Chadash, I think mu'ushan is vaday bishul. It's not safik bishul. It's definitely bishul, and therefore should be asur basa b'chalav. Now, two problems. Crazy Place, he points out both. If you take a look, we're not going to read inside now because we're going to have to try to wrap it up. Crazy Place, Rabbi Yonah Snipes, did make it into your Marmar Komos, but he points out, what's the Pichadish saying? That because it's enough in Yerushalmi and Shabbos, the Mu'ushan is Kimavushal, so therefore it must be that the Maskana is Mu'ushan does have a Din of Mavushal. No, you should already be able to poke a hole in that theory. What did we say? Where does the Yerushalmi raise the Safek? In regards to where does it raise the suffix and leave it as a suffix is in regards to Basav Chalav and Bishlakum. So the fact that Yerushalmi in Shabbos tells you Mushan is Mavushal, maybe that's only Lagabi Bishal to Shabbos. But it's still a suffix, Lagabi Bishal, by Basav Chalav and by Bishlakum. That's issue number one. Issue number two is if the Pri Chadash wants the Taina, this is in the tiny paragraph in the place here. I photocopied the whole page, but it's really just the Os Yud Beis in the place. Issue number two is, if the place he wants to insist that Bishul Akum, I'm sorry, if the Pri Chadash wants to insist that they're all going to have the same halacha, Mu'ushan, you have to determine, Bishul or no Bishul? No distinguishing this halacha, that halacha. It's Bishul or it's not Bishul? Well, if you're going to say like that, then it would turn out the Mu'ushan by Bishul Akum is Asir. It's against Shulchan Aruch. It's against everybody. No one says Mu'ushan is Asir by Bishul Akum. Mushan is definitely mutter by Bishul Akum. So Pri Chadash wants to put them all together and say, oh, that Yerushalmi is Megala and the other Yerushalmi, Pashtus is not that way. Pashtus, like Rabbi Yonah Snipes, says that when it comes to Bishul Basar B'Chalav and Bishul B'Shabbos, and Bishul Akum rather, it's a Safek. When it comes to Bishul B'Shabbos, it's Vaday that it is Bishul. The two don't relate to each other, and because it's a Safek, the Rambam says, by Bishul Basar B'Chalav, Asur Ve'in Lokin Alav, and by Bishul Akum, that it's Takam Mutter. So tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem, we're going to start with discussing cold smoke versus hot smoke. We'll get into steamed, microwaved, all the good stuff.